This is Eat Your Kimchi on SBS Pop Asia.
Hey, it's Simon.
And Martina.
And we're broadcasting out of Kichijoji, the best part of Japan.
Suck now
and forever. Yokohama, you can eat
it. Sucks.
We were actually in Yokohama today and we were filming with somebody.
And we felt dirty the whole time.
We felt dirty, felt gross. I felt so betrayed.
We walked over a pothole and the pothole said Yokohama and I went, Yokohama.
Yokohama. Today, we're going to share a really special story with you about a really cool area of Tokyo that we just discovered.
Stumbled upon.
We're going to tell you why we got there. First, we were there for a movie premiere. This was the first time we ever went to a Japanese movie premiere.
And this wasn't a movie premiere like a Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie are in. Like, it was fellow coworkers that work with us at Breaker that are YouTubers.
Uh-huh.
We can't mention who they are or what's going on because they have stuff that hasn't been released yet.
Right.
But the point is that Simon and I, the most crackery whitey whiteys, showed up to support them. And we were the only English speaking white people in that audience.
Yeah.
And everything in the movie was in pure Japanese.
Right.
With no subtitles.
They even had the producer come up and speak beforehand and explain it in really rapid Japanese. Like, this is far beyond my proficiency level here. I need to hear more food vocabulary in here.
But where's the food vocabulary?
Where's the food? Where's the food at?
The two of us held hands with each other and we looked over and we said, this is going to be a ride.
And then we watched the whole movie, which had no subtitles whatsoever, but we were able to follow along and understand what was happening.
Yep.
But something very bizarre happened.
Mm-hmm.
The movie was funny.
Yeah.
Very funny.
Yeah.
We were...
Not typical funny. Not typical funny, like obvious slapstick funny. Like there were things that happened that were obviously supposed to be funny.
Like music cuts, like abrupt music cuts.
Like, and people going like, eh? Funny things that cue you up.
Exactly. So the two of us were laughing... Nobody else in the theater at all laughed whatsoever. And then we thought to ourselves, because we both discussed this afterwards, because we didn't say this in the movie theater. I was thinking, and Martina was thinking, holy smokes, maybe it's not funny.
Yeah.
Maybe there's something serious happening in Japanese and nobody's laughing and we're being rude.
Yep.
And it just became so difficult because it kept on being funny.
So
and
we were holding back our snickering.
We're holding back our laughing. And it's like some of it slipped out. I'm like, oh my God, I've deeply offended every single person here. But then afterwards, when we wound up asking everyone, why did nobody laugh? And they said, oh, a lot of people that are there for movie premieres are executives and whatnot. And they watch a lot of movies and it's for work that they do this kind of thing. So they don't really enjoy that much. And I'm like, that's obscene.
That makes
this
no
is
sense.
A movie that you can't help but laugh at.
Yeah. And what I don't understand about it is that I get that people have jobs that they don't necessarily like.
Right.
The people who are probably music. For example, people who like K-pop and J-pop.
Yeah.
Who are actual fans of it.
Yeah.
I'm sure that when you watch the group live, you're like, oh my God, I love this group. But if you're a music producer and you're working with EXO or Super Junior, maybe you just aren't moved at all anymore.
Because you've seen it so many times.
Right. So maybe when they're in the thing performing their song, you're just do it again. Get it right. Do it again.
They don't feel
all right.
Moved.
Maybe they just don't feel moved at all.
But then when we ask somebody else that actually does a lot of these premieres, he's this is every single premiere that he's been to. Nobody reacts to anything. Everyone just watches with stern reverence.
Yeah. But it was a real cluster duck for my mind.
Right.
Because you kept saying to yourself, oh my God, I am totally wrong about this being funny.
And I'm just this rude foreigner that's coming here and disrupting everything with my laughter. And I felt so bad.
Yeah.
But then I realized afterwards, no, it's just people were intentionally not
so
laughing.
So we told our fellow movie makers, we said, we loved your movie. It was funny.
Yeah.
I had such a good laugh. And they're like, good, good. But I felt did they feel sad?
Yeah.
Because they're not movie makers. They're YouTubers. And this is a big deal for them.
Sure.
If you and I made a movie and put it in a movie theater for people to watch for the first time ever.
Yeah.
It wasn't for movies for people to pay. It was the premiere event, for people to look at. If not a single person laughed, I would crawl under my chair and die.
I'd be like, that's it.
You'd be
out.
Where's Martina? And be oh, she's under her chair dead.
Uh-huh.
She died of sadness. I don't know how they handled this.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure if this is common. And if you guys have ever had the experience of watching a movie in a different language, I'd love to know if you guys have ever had that same thing where you're laughing or you're crying or something's emotional and everyone else is doing the opposite.
It was weird.
It was very weird.
But
it led us to something amazing.
So the area that we were in was Gotanda, which is the first time we've ever been there. We love it because for those of you that know, Dan. His last name is Tanda. Mm-hmm. And so when we saw Go Tanda, we said, Go Tanda, Go Tanda, Go! Go Tanda, Go Tanda, Go! Go, 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 Go! Which is, for those of you that are old enough to remember the old Ninja Turtles movie, it's the Go Ninja, Go Ninja by Vanilla Ice.
Go Ninja,
Ice.
Go Ninja, Go! Go Ninja, Go Ninja, Go! So, go, go, go! Go.
I greatly appreciated the station.
And we definitely know that we sandwiched Dan with some horrible singing. Right. He's like walking between us and we're like, go, Dan, go, 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 go. We're like doing the running man. He's like, I'm humiliated.
Dan is super embarrassed. It was a really great spot for reasons that some people might not find it to be that great of a spot. But when we were walking there, it was the biggest crowd of salarymen that I've ever seen. Everybody wearing black suits, like the exact same, not funeral suits, but like the salaryman kind of black suits, walking in huge throngs of no diversity in the outfits whatsoever.
As we were heading to this movie premiere, we saw these gigantic throngs of salarymen. And like, it was just this whole new area of Tokyo for us to visit.
And we saw this one building to the left of us that looked kind of like an apartment building, but like when you walk to the front, it kind of like has like a small stairwell going down with like five or six steps.
And the shape of the stairs are almost like a hex, like the building was like a hexagon or like it wasn't a normal shape. It looked like something out of like a Blade Runner movie that's trying to show you the future buildings.
It was all brown. It had that like brown look of the 80s, the sad construction time of the 80s. Whatever happened to the 80s with construction, it was bad. But like you walk downstairs a few steps and you see a whole bunch of like small, like really tiny bars and restaurants.
And doors.
And doors, lots of doors. Every single, like if you look through the window, like of any one of them, the maximum seating is like eight people.
And some of them
people.
You couldn't even see in. You could just see like a shaded black door.
Right by the entrance, they had this really big cylindrical lamp that had lights and like water and bubbles coming through. And that's the kind of lamp you only see in places where they sell sex.
Yeah.
It's like as soon as I said it to Dan, Dan's like, that's exactly it. You don't
and
see
that's
them.
That's exactly what I thought.
You
too.
Don't see them at department stores. You don't see them at parks. You only see them in places where they sell sex. And when you like go up, like when you like your eyes cast up, you're like, some of these places look a little seedier than like the places on the ground level.
Oh, a little seedier. This place was like birds everywhere, super seedy. But here's what I wish I could explain to you.
That was a good one. Birds everywhere, super seedy. I appreciate it.
Did you like it?
That was a good one.
I couldn't tell if you're being sarcastic.
No, for real. That was like the first joke that you did this
week. Oh, stop it. Oh, stop it. Anyhow, I wish I could explain this to you in a Harry Potter reference, if you will. Uh-huh. When you walk down these tiled steps, you are standing...
Brown tiled
ceramic steps. Everything is brown tiled. The ground, the stairs, the like columns that are holding things up.
Mm-hmm.
The ceiling.
Yeah.
Okay.
And brown.
All brown. And there's a tree growing in the center of an indoor apartment. But when you look up, the tree is like it's like a sugar maple tree or Japanese maple. So it's got those little tiny leaves. Mm-hmm. You can see the sky peeking out in the center. Mm-hmm. So it almost looks like a prison where all the open concept balconies are like when you see a prison that kind of like spirals upwards.
Yeah, yeah.
Like what was that movie we saw? Like Ong Bok, the one where they go to the prison that they break into.
The Raid, you're thinking.
The Raid, yeah. It looked like that. And when you look around at these different doors, I felt like it was a Harry Potter moment where every door led somewhere else.
Exactly.
It felt like the Ministry of Magic. It didn't feel like we were in a normal place. If you went back up those tile steps, you're in Tokyo. There's businessmen walking by.
But going down into this area, it felt like its own different world.
It did. And so we looked around and we read all these signs. And some of them we couldn't read. Like some of them were snack bars with like whiskey and beer. And one of them was yakitori.
So we decided to go into this yakitori shop. We slide open the door and we see that it's almost completely full, but it has three spots open, which is what we needed because it was you, me, and Dan going in there. Everything in there was like dingy and gray and smoky. And we asked them if we could sit and they said yes. We sat down beside, there are two people to the left of us, a man and a woman that were having drinks. And then to the right of us, there were like three people. One of them spoke decent English and they asked us, why are you here? TripAdvisor?
You could definitely tell from their faces that every single person had not ever seen a foreigner.
Yeah,
like, I mean, they've seen foreigners, but not in their little spot.
So when we went out, like when we said, no, not TripAdvisor, we just wandered and we found this place and the guy said, very good. this is a deep spot. And my travel boner was just, I could have lifted
the chin. Can we say that on the, we're saying it.
I was so excited because like when I looked around, nobody there was younger than 45.
Which is our dream always.
Which is our dream. I love places with really old people. Like that's my jam. Like I don't know what it is. Like even like, I don't have anything against young people, but I really like talking to older people. They have
I know what it is. I think, okay, there's a couple of theories.
Yeah.
I think that older people have had a lot of experience in life.
Lots more, yeah.
And they don't really care anymore.
Right.
You hit a certain age where...
You're not trying to impress anyone.
Right, exactly. You're not trying to pick anybody up.
Right. You have stories to tell rather than like ideas that you want to express.
Or you don't care if you ever see these people again.
Right.
Like, you just say what you feel. Yeah. Where are you from? How did you find this place? You should try this. Like, yeah. There's kind of like an openness and sharing right. to like a lot of older people yeah, that I there, think
there's,
I love.
There's not that air of trying to get in somebody's good books.
Yeah.
There's not that air of trying to get something out of someone. Yeah. Not that all young people are like that, but it's just like with older people, there's a whole lot of like, I don't give a crap feel.
Yeah,
to that. And,
yeah.
I like that. There's yeah. a lack of pressure when we're in like places with lots of older people. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, me too. And mm-hmm. I mean, I think that I've always just liked old people in general. Like, yeah. I always loved hanging out with my grandparents.
Right.
And sadly for you, like you never had grandparents to hang out with. So like,
I
think that you never experienced what it was like to have like an older person chill with you and tell you something about cards or how to whittle a stick or something.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
And for me, I always loved my grandfather and his, I only had one grandfather because my other grandfather died in the war.
Mm-hmm.
But my granddaddy that I did meet, we were very, very close. Mm-hmm. And like having him say like, let's go to Tim Hortons together. And this is in Nova Scotia in Bedford and near Halifax.
Yeah.
Anyone from the Maritimes, represent. If you're from the Maritimes, please send me a boat or squid emoji.
Look,
on
we're going to get like one or two tweets.
That's
or
fine.
Somebody,
I would like the East
and the rest
Coast
of them
Maritimes.
Are going to be from people lying.
No.
Post a boat if you're lying about living.
No, don't listen to Simon. Post an old person emoji if you like old people.
Yeah.
I love you guys sending us emojis, by the way. It makes my heart
thrilled.
Swim.
Yes.
But you know, like for me, it's like my granddaddy would take me to these places and there was no pretension or worry. He'd be like, oh, there's, you know, Mrs. Belfort. She'd be like, he'd be like, well, good morning, Mrs. Belfort. She's like, well, good morning, Eugene.
Exactly.
And then he'd be like, well, what are you doing today? She's like, I'm getting my scratch card. And we would just talk about nothing. It wasn't like, you know, oh my God, like, hi. There was no like eyeing somebody up and down and being like, oh, she got fat or she got skinny. Like, there are none of those judgments.
Of
it was just like puttering about talk.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what I like about hanging out with old people.
But like, you could definitely tell that like when we were there, people were very surprised to see us there.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think they've seen a white person there for many years.
And there's no English on the menu. And
no English.
Nothing. So, let's talk about what we ordered.
So we ordered like the set and they pretty much gave us like the little like appetizer, which was nikumi, which is like this like beef stew with like intestines and like these like long boiled radishes in this like really thick creamy broth.
It's the Japanese answer to beef stew.
Yeah, except beef stew is thickened with flour. This isn't thickened with flour. This is thickened with love. Does that make sense? I don't know what it's because it's still like pretty watery.
I think it's probably
watery.
The radish, to be honest. I think the radish is starchy, so.
Yeah, the radish gives it the starch, but it doesn't have that like gloopiness of like an Irish stew.
What was great about this, though, was that we've had a lot of nikome. Like every place we go to, like I've almost never seen nikome on the menu.
I think it's nikumi.
Nikumi?
Nikumi, not nikome.
Nikumi, nikome. I'm not sure, guys.
Who knows?
The point is that we often don't see it on the menu. You just kind of order it because there's a pot of it around.
Mm-hmm.
And they spoon it out to you into like little tiny cups. And most places we go to are good. Places that are bad, it's when the intestines and the stuff
are
is
way
chewy.
Too tough. Yeah.
But this place, ooh, these sassy old men, they put hot pepper in it.
Yeah.
And I have never had one that was spicy
exactly.
before. And when we got it and we told Dan, oh my gosh, because Dan was like 5 minutes behind us.
Uh-huh.
We were like, Dan, you have to get this. This is like the best one we've ever had.
Yeah.
When he ordered it, I could see his like, well, I'll be the judge of that. And he was like, oh my God. Right?
Every stick that we got there for yakitori. So they gave us like 9 different sticks that we had and we shared them between the three of us. Everyone was so tender and delicious. Sometimes if you go to cheaper yakitori places, then the meat's really tough.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you get like bonjiri or nankotsu, which has cartilage in it, the cartilage is way too thick and you're really chewing hard. Everything here was surprisingly tender. Mm-hmm. Like after like my fourth stick, I looked at this guy like, you really know what you're doing. You're not messing around with this.
Kind of like when we went to Saitamaya. The first time I had Saitamaya, I was like, what? Mm. Also, another sign of like a not great yakitori place is the food tastes gassy.
Yes.
Like they've
exactly they've the butane.
Yeah,
you
the
taste.
Butane. They've cooked it on butane or they've cooked it too fast.
Right.
And the slow fast cooking, the skill of cooking something on binchon, like the charcoal, charcoal, I'm trying to say it charcoal. Right for you guys, charcoal, charcoal.
You got a girl.
Charcoal.
That's it.
When you cook it on charcoal, like there's a way to cook it and flip it so that you get that char, but not a burn.
The coal.
But not the coal. Uh-huh. And one of our favorites is Torikawa, which is chicken skin. And when it's not done properly, it's just gummy fat on a stick.
So if it's undercooked, it all just tastes rubbery. And if you cook it too quickly, then the skin burns really up, flaky. Yeah. And it just like you taste so much of the burn. So how do you cook it right and still get a bit of a crisp without the flakiness?
Like the heat control of like cooking it through. And then getting that grill on it.
Oh, this place got it all right. Oh, man.
And he asked us for every piece that seemed off. Like, he said to us, like, liver, daijoubu desu ka? And we were like,
daijoubu
desu. And then
everything
he's like, torikawa,
daijoubu
desu ka? We're like,
daijoubu. We loved it.
And everyone around us was thrilled. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing about a place with older people. Mm-hmm. They don't hold back. So the people beside us were so happy that we were happy.
Yeah.
As soon as we got our drinks, every person in the bar turned to us and went, kanpai! Yeah. And we had to stand up and cheers.
We
all these
with
strangers,
everyone.
You know?
There's a funny story about standing up because to the left of us, we told you there was like the man and the woman. And the man had to go to the bathroom, but it's such a narrow place that like we can't sit and get by. So I had to stand up to try to like
tuck in and press my body.
And I like
against.
Hit my head on the roof of the thing because it's super tiny and I'm a big guy. And it was hilarious because the guy to the left of me didn't speak any English, but the only thing he said was, I'm sorry, I'm very fat boy.
And we all howled with laughter. Everyone. She howled with laughter. The old man in the corner howled with laughter.
It was brilliant.
Yeah.
So then like, because I knew that he was going to come back, so I waited out for him to go. And then like when he came back, he's like, sorry, like, no, it's okay. Let's go. Da, da,
da, da, and then we did like a little dance party and we all kind of conga'd
going
back to
on,
our
it was
seat.
A great conga on the way back. Another thing that made me laugh profusely, it's not just me. I made Japanese people laugh.
I was so proud of you.
I was so proud.
Your first joke.
So this place is called like Momo-chan. Mm-hmm. And then the guy that was flipping it, he's like, oh, I'm Momo-chan.
Because we held, there was no name out front, but we saw business cards sitting. So we picked it up and we said, oh, Momo-chan. And then he went, and
I'm
he
Momo-chan.
Pointed to himself.
But he was cooking with another guy, right?
Yeah.
There was another guy there that was like making the drinks and putting together sick. And like, oh, you are Momo-chan. Is he Sesari-chan? Mm-hmm. So Momo is like chicken thigh and Sesari is, I think, chicken breast.
Well, it's kind of like a part of like
part
the
of the neck,
or chicken
breast area.
It's a part that we don't cut up in North America.
I did a Japanese pun. All right. It was my first joke in the Japanese language.
Wait, let's explain to everyone else too, because Momo-chan is a very common. It also means peach. Momo means peach.
Sure.
And Momo is a very, very common name for
Look,
pets.
Look, don't over-explain my joke.
No, I'm
it
not
was hilarious.
Over-explaining it. I'm explaining it because people can't get the joke because you said Momo was thigh.
Yeah.
But that's not how he meant it. That's why your joke is so funny.
Yeah.
Momo-chan is kind of like calling your dog Spot.
Yeah.
And so everybody knows that it's a very common kind of like pet name.
Right.
So he meant it as like this cute pet name.
Yeah.
But Simon double joked it because this guy's grilling chicken.
Yeah.
So
with
he
chicken
says,
thigh as
so he
well.
Goes, oh, so you're a chick,
you're chicken
thigh. He must
chicken
be chicken breast.
Breast.
And so it took people like, it was like a doom, doom, doom. And then they went,
it was
and
great.
They got it.
I made a whole bunch of old Japanese people laugh with my rudimentary food skills.
And then they were pointing to each other like, oh, you're Negitoro-chan or you're like, you know, Liva-chan. Like they got the joke and it was so satisfying to
and
have a joke. You know?
Martina had a great moment as well because they were playing weird music. Mm-hmm. And one of the songs...
They were playing like 80s music mixed with like Japanese music.
And the song that they started playing was,
I want candy.
Dun, 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 dun. And Martina decided to sing Yakitori.
Bam, bam, bam.
Bam, bam. And then other people started singing the yakitori song
the guy
with
in
us
the
that
corner,
we just made up on the spot.
He held up his glass to me and he went, yakitori. And so everyone was just having a great time.
The last thing that I'm going to say right here, because we're running out of time, I just want to talk about this place forever.
We
because
didn't
I love
tell them
it.
About the drinks.
So, yes, the drink. We saw this weird drink made for the first time. So
the guys beside us.
Yeah. So the guy beside us grabbed, like, got a drink, and it was like made with all this like long pink strips in it. I'm like, what the hell kind of drink is that?
And it wasn't umeboshi, because umeboshi is like a pickled plum. Yeah. And that's a dark purple.
Yeah. These were the long kind of strips of ginger that you usually have with sushi. Mm-hmm. So, except instead of being like white that most people see, this was a pink one.
Really pink. And like they Martina made, hair color pink.
They made a highball out of it. So it's just like soda water, some, like, I think it's
whiskey or shochu. I don't even know.
What do they put in a highball?
I don't know.
Anyhow, so they had that, and they put a whole bunch of that ginger in there, which makes sense, because sometimes you have ginger highs and like
ginger ale mixed with
ginger highball, right? And they usually have ginger ale mixed with that.
So we looked at Dan, I looked at Simon, and I said, guys, next drink that we get, let's just order whatever the heck that is. Let's just order whatever the heck it is.
It could be gross. It could be amazing. And then like Dan and I ordered it, and like, okay, let's do it.
I got the umeboshi one, and they got the ginger ones.
And it was amazing.
Yep.
It was like, and Dan said, like, this is my favorite drink in Japan from now on.
Yeah.
So like, I've never seen it anywhere else.
Shoka High.
So I'm going to start asking other places if they have it, because it's unbelievable. And it was great because we didn't know what to expect.
Yeah.
We just wanted to have a weird experience that we like never had before.
And
we wanted
to try whatever. What's the worst that happens?
You spit it out, or no, you don't spit it out.
Foreigners, man. They put pictures of us.
The worst that happens is that you just don't like it. But if you love it, or if you enjoy them, my God, you remember that forever. You'd make a radio show about it.
And when you guys had a refill of it, because I wanted one afterwards, because I'm like, well, my umeboshi was great, but like yours was much better when I tried a sip of it, because it was sweet and it was sour and it was pickled and it was sparkling. The guy said, well, he explained in Japanese, like he's going to be adding to it. Yeah. So he didn't actually, kind of like Saitamaya, where they give you lemon, lemon sours and they add more lemon.
Right.
So he goes, I pile on more. And then he said, it's going to get sweeter.
Yeah.
And then we knew when Dan got to the bottom of yours.
It was really sweet.
Right. But mine was still in a gingery state. So it was so interesting.
So the point that we're trying to get at here, I want to talk about this place forever. We love it. And we only discovered it not by having somebody tell us about it, not by having a guide, not by looking up anything online. I don't even sure if this place has like anything on Tabalog or Google. You probably won't be able to find this place. I don't even know how to describe how to get there, because I just have it from memory from walking there. But we wandered and we explored and we tried something that we had no expectations for, and we had one of our favorite nights in Tokyo ever. Dan loved it. You loved it.
Go, Tenda.
And I hope that you love it also. And I hope that when you come to Japan or whatever country you're visiting, don't be afraid to go somewhere that you don't know. Don't be afraid to try something new. You could unlock a memory of a lifetime.
Simon always says things that I can never wrap up on. I'm like, I like to fart. Like, I don't know how to finish it. I know what to finish this with.
Why?
And don't worry if you don't speak the language, because we did this before we ever were able to read any Japanese.
Sure. We had just pointed these, what is this?
You know? And if you're wondering what that tweet was a long time ago where we said that we had one of the most awesomest experiences ever, this is what we were talking about.
So
we'll definitely put out a tweet of the outside of the izakaya to show you guys.
We gotta go there again.
We'll go back again.
We gotta share.
Maybe we could
like, even for a Rainbow Lotta support team, we could go back, take some pictures and tell people how to get there.
I would say that we should live stream, but we lost all of our data from our Otsu live stream.
We kind of blew this week.
Internetless.
So that's it for this week. We're going to go try to make some new experiences so we could tell you more stories.
Yeah. And we want to let you guys know that we really love you guys.
We really love you guys.
We had a big appreciation day where we were like, we've got the best community.
We can't tell you what happened today, but there's some things that happened that really made me think our audience is amazing.
We love you guys.
We love you guys. We're going to end this with, we love you guys.
Yep.
Take care, everyone.
Take care, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Listen again to Eat Your Kimchi Radio. Get the podcast from the free SBS Pop Asia app.